This is our inaugural study. We're going to be in this book for the next about month or so. And I'm really excited about it. James is one of my favorite books in the Bible. It really has a lot of good stuff in there. Written to the Jews, contains more of the teachings of Jesus Christ than any other book in the New Testament. Even though it never actually makes a mention of Jesus. James was the brother of Jesus, so it really contains a lot of his stuff. It's good. But let's jump right in. If you got your Bibles, open up to James 1. We're going to look at verse 21 through 25, and we'll do a little bit of jumping around this morning, talking about the purpose of the Word of God. So verse 21 starts out, "Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the Word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does." Okay? So get this. James says that a man who looks into the word of God and doesn't do what it says is like a man who looks in a mirror and walks away and forgets what he's looked at. Okay? Now, mirrors are handy for two reasons. First of all, they reflect reality. Does anybody look in a mirror and say, "That's not really what's going on behind me," or "That's not really what I look like"? Does anybody do that? No. Mirrors reflect reality. The second reason mirrors are handy is they allow us to make changes. Okay, we look at reality, we look at what's going on in the picture, we look at what's going on in the mirror, and then we're able to make adjustments to make our appearance a little better or whatever we need to do based upon what we see in reality, right? Okay, so mirrors are very handy. James says the Bible is like a mirror. It helps us see reality as Jesus sees it. It helps us see reality as God sees it. When we look into the Bible, we're looking into the mind of God. It gives us a glimpse of what God thinks about things. And based upon what we see in the Bible, we're able to make changes in our lives to line up with God's desires for us, or to line up with what God's will is for our lives, what we should be thinking, what should we be doing, what our attitude should be. So it's very much like a mirror. Now, mirrors don't lie, as we said already. They reflect things as they actually are, okay? Very important to understand. Look at verse 21. You see that word humbly there? It says to get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Why do you think it's important to approach the word humbly? Any ideas? Well, let me ask you another question. Do you think the Bible will ever tell you that you're wrong about something? Do you think it will? What does a prideful person have a really hard time hearing? That they're wrong about something? Okay. Do you think the Bible will ever need you to admit that you're wrong and need to change something? Think so? What does a prideful person have a very hard time admitting? That they're wrong and need to change something, right? Now, I say this because the Bible says that it's going to tell us that we're wrong sometimes, okay? Probably just about every time we read it. If you look at 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, it says, "All scripture is God-breathed and useful for four things, teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." So what does that say right there? It says four things are going to happen when you study scripture. You're going to be taught. That means you're going to learn something new that you didn't know before. You're going to be rebuked. That means you're going to be told you're wrong about something. You're going to be corrected. That means you're going to be told how to make that wrong right. And you're going to be trained in righteousness, which means you're going to be given a how-to guide for your life, okay? The end result is that you will be equipped for every good work, thoroughly equipped for every good work, equipped for life. Now, does that happen for a prideful person? No. Why not? Because the Bible's going to teach them, rebuke them, correct them. But before it does that, they're going to try to teach the Bible and rebuke the Bible and correct the Bible, right? They're not going to put up with that. There's another reason you got to be humble when you're studying the Word. Look at this, Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Now this picture that is painted right here of Scripture is that of a sharp object. So let me ask you another question. How do you feel about being cut? How do you feel about being cut? Okay, what if this guy right here came up to you, and let's say I'm that guy, he pulls out a big 5-inch knife, and he said, "Hey Mark, I want to cut you. Come here. I want to cut a 4-inch gash in your chest." What are you going to do? You're going to run away. Is anybody in here going to come running to that guy? Look at him. He looks like a psycho. Okay? No. Everybody's going to run away. Don't cut me. I don't want to be cut. What if it's this guy? Let's change the scenario. Okay? This guy comes up to you and says, "Hey, Mark, you've got a tumor inside your chest. It's going to kill you if we don't take it out. I've got my scalpel here. I need to make a 4-inch incision in your chest and remove that tumor, or else you're going to die. Can I cut you?" What are you going to say? Changes the picture a little bit, doesn't it? What's a prideful person going to say? "I'm not sick. Where'd you get your degree? Are you really a doctor? It's not really going to kill me. I don't need your help." Right? Be humble. First point. Be humble when you approach the Word, okay? Look at verse 22. "Do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves." What? Do what it says. Do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves. How could listening to the Word cause somebody to be deceived? Anybody? What'd you say?
Misinterpretation,
okay. Goes in one ear, goes out the other, okay. When you were a kid, did your mom ever ask you to clean your room? Did she ever ask you to mow the grass, rake the leaves, do some kind of chore around the house? Did you ever hear when she said that? Did you ever not get around to doing what she asked you to do? Okay. I can think of more than one time where my mom asked me to do something and I didn't do it. Now what happened? "Wes, go clean your room." "Okay, I'll do it in a little while." Never got around to it. Mom notices. What happened? Yeah, she comes. She wants to talk to me, right? Okay. Mom comes and talks to me. "Wes, why didn't you clean your room? I told you to clean your room." What do I say? "But I heard you." No, Mom, why are you mad? I heard you. "No, Mom, you can't get mad at me. I heard you." What's the problem with that? I never did it, right? People treat their mom that way sometimes. Now, that's a ridiculous argument to make. Nobody in their right mind would make that argument. "No, Mom, I know you told me to mow the grass. I heard you. Isn't that enough, Mom? Why are you so upset? I heard you," right? That doesn't make sense. Why do people do that to God? "Yeah, God, I know I'm not living the way I should. I go to church on Sunday. I listen to sermons. Come on, God. Why are you mad at me? Come on, God. You can't be upset with me. I'm there. I read my Bible, God. Come on, God." "Yeah, I'm living in sin. I don't really listen to anything. You know, I don't put it into practice, but I listen, right? Come on, God." It's ridiculous, right? Is a person that's doing that deceived? Huh?
They're deceiving themselves.
They're deceiving themselves, yeah. They are deceived. So that's a silly argument to make, but look, the point is here, guys, hearing is no good if it's not accompanied by action. Okay, James makes this real clear in the letter. We're going to look at that in a second. We're deceived when we think that just hearing is good enough. A person is deceived when they think attending church on Sunday somehow equates to scoring points with God, when you're really not putting anything you learned into practice. Okay. So he continues this thought in the next chapter. Let's keep reading here. Picking up in verse 14. And actually, that should say 14 through 17. It says 14 through 26. Let's keep going, though. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, "Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed," but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is what? It's dead. Faith, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. So is simply hearing the word of God good enough? What do you think? No? Okay. Is simply listening enough? No. God expects us to be doers of the word, right? Is that what this is saying? God expects us to be doers of the word. Who in here has heard of Martin Luther? Remember the Reformation? Guy that broke away from the Catholic Church, printed Bibles for people. Big time. Titan in the faith, as some would believe. Okay? Really did a lot of good for leading us to where we are today. Did you know that he hated the book of James with a passion? He absolutely hated the book of James. He called it an epistle of straw. You want to know why? Because Martin Luther believed that we are saved by faith alone. By the way, I believe it. I'll tell you what I think faith is here in just a second. He hated the book of James because James mentions faith and attaches it to doing things, right? Now, he mentions faith over and over here. What is faith? Most people would say it's belief in God, right? Does that sound pretty good? Not if you think that sounds pretty good. Faith is belief in God. Many people say if you will just believe in God, you will be saved. And what they're saying is if you will just mentally believe that there is a God in heaven and mentally believe that Jesus Christ is his son, you are saved right when you believe that, right? Is belief all that faith is? Some of you say no. Well, that's a really important question. Because look at what the Bible says about faith in Romans 5. This is one of Luther's favorite scriptures right here. Romans 5, 1 and 2. Therefore, since we've been justified through what? Faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So what are we justified through? Justified by faith in Jesus, right? What do we gain access into God's grace through? Faith. Does it sound like faith is an important thing to have? Does it sound like if you don't have faith, you might not be saved? That's what it sounds like, right? So it's very important. Here's another one of Martin Luther's favorites. Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Look at that. What are we saved through? Saved through faith. Not by what? Not by works. Okay? Does it sound like faith may be a really important thing to have? I think so. Now, this scripture right here says we're saved by faith and not our works. Why does James say that faith without action is dead? Isn't there a conflict there? Is the Bible contradicting itself? Is this harmonizing or is it not? On the surface, it may not look like it is. Let's read on in James. Now, question, is belief all that faith is? Say no, okay? Does anybody else want to chime in? Is belief all faith is? Let's read on. James 2, 18 and 19. But someone will say, "You have faith and I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I'll show you my faith by what I do. You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder." Is belief all faith is? If belief is all that faith is, then does this scripture seem to imply that maybe the demons have faith? They have belief, right? But do they have faith? It must not be the same thing, okay? I think that's why Martin Luther hated the book of James so much. Now look, here's why I'm harping on this, guys. There's a school of thought out there today in evangelical Christianity that says if you will just believe in God, you will be saved. If you will just believe, it doesn't matter how you live. If you believe for an instant, God will regenerate you by the Holy Spirit. You will be saved if you will just believe in God. Don't have to worry about this obedience stuff if you don't want to. Just believe and you will be saved. That's taught, okay? They quote scriptures like this thing in Ephesians. It's not by works, it's just belief. Belief alone, and they call the doctrine faith alone. But what they really mean is belief alone, okay? I don't believe that faith is just belief. I do believe that we're saved by faith alone. I want to make that real clear. I believe that we are saved by faith in Jesus alone. I do not believe we can earn our salvation. I do not believe we can ever be good enough to make God owe us anything. I believe it is only through the sacrifice of Jesus that we are saved. But I believe that faith is more than just mental belief. Okay? Here's why. Look at these scriptures. Matthew 7, verse 21. Jesus says, this is Jesus speaking, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who what?" Only he who what? Does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Okay? He goes on in verse 24. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does what? Puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. Who's like the wise man? Those who hear my words and put them into practice. Okay? The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like who? The foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Okay, it sounds like faith is more than just belief in Jesus' book. What's the greatest command in the law? The greatest command. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, right? How does Jesus say he will know if somebody loves him? You're exactly right. Let's look at a couple of scriptures here. John 14, 15. This is Jesus talking. Look at what he says. If you love me, you will what? Obey what I command. He goes on in 23 and 24. Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will what? Will not obey my teaching. Okay, let's keep reading. 15:10, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. What can you infer from that? If you obey the commands, you remain in his love. What's going to happen if you disobey and live in rebellion? You may not remain in his love. I think he's talking about eternity there. The Apostle John says this in 2 John 1:6, and this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. Okay? Does it sound like faith in Jesus is more than a simple mental belief in him? More than a simple mental belief that he existed at some point in history, that he actually is the Son of God? You know, I mentally believe that he lived, died, and rose again. I'm saved. Is that right? I don't think so. I really don't think so. It's very important that we understand what faith is. Okay? It is belief. But it is more than just belief. There are three parts to faith. The first one is belief in Jesus. Okay, that is the first part of faith. The second part is trust in Jesus to do what he says he's going to do. Okay, so you got belief and you got trust. You've also got obedience to Jesus. That is part of faith, okay? Obedience to Jesus' commands, obedience to the scripture. Now, just to be clear, the Bible is not God. But the Bible is God's book. The Bible is like a window that we can look through and see God. Obedience to God is obedience to the Bible. Okay? And just to be real clear, when I say obedience is a part of faith, I am not saying that you have to be perfect. Okay? I want to be real clear about that. But the Bible is clear that we ought to strive for it. Okay? Doesn't mean we're going to be perfect in this life. But we are to strive for it. That's the theme of James. Completion. Complete spiritual wholeness. Striving for completion. That's the theme of the book of James. So faith isn't just belief, okay? It's belief with legs on. As the body, James 2:26, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. If you're driving home today with your kids, you see a dead dog on the side of the highway, are you going to pull over and pick it up and take it home with you? It's kind of gross, right? Dead faith is about as attractive to God as a dead dog is on the side of the highway to us. It's not very attractive. Now we look into the mirror of the Word, not just to hear it, but to do what it says. That's the message of the book of James. Doing matters. Okay? It does not mean that you earn your salvation, but it matters. It is part of faith. There's one last scripture that I want to look at. This is another one that I'm sure Martin Luther really wasn't a big fan of. By the way, I think the reason he didn't like James is because he thought faith was just belief. He looked at that scripture in Hebrews. It says faith is belief in things unseen. It's more than that, okay? Revelation 20:12 says, and I saw, this is a picture of the judgment, picture of judgment day. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what? The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. I don't think it's going to be our performance that saves us. I hope nobody leaves here thinking that I believe or am teaching that it's our performance that's going to save us. Let me tell you what, though. What you do says a lot about who you're following. Okay? What you do says a lot about whose team you're on. What you do tells God and the rest of the world if you're following Jesus or not. So when we stand before God on Judgment Day, they're going to examine the evidence of our life to find out if we were following Jesus or not. And if you were in a court of law and someone accused you of being a follower of Jesus, would there be enough evidence to convict you? That's a conviction that you want, okay? So there's two points that I just want to leave you with today. Had a short lesson. Pretty simple. But first of all is listen to the Word humbly and expect a call to change. Don't read the Bible just to read it. By the way, it's a good habit to be into every day. You look in the mirror every day. Why don't you look in your Bible every day? It's more important than your physical appearance. And expect it to change you. You're going to be rebuked. You're going to be corrected. You're going to be taught. You're going to be trained in righteousness every time you study your Bible. Okay? Expect it. The second thing, do what it says. Do what it says. This sounds so simplistic, but it's missed, okay? Listening is nothing if doing doesn't accompany what you're learning, okay? Faith is belief with legs on it. That's what it is. So don't merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Don't merely look in the mirror and walk away forgetting what you've just seen. Make His thoughts your thoughts. Make His desires your desires. Make His attitude your attitude. Make the way He walked the way you walk. Become a reflection of what you see in the Bible. And as we become more and more like Jesus, we'll become a mirror ourselves. And the light from heaven will shine down and hit us. And somebody say light of the world? That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. So we're going to wrap up today. We're going to sing another song. Happy Father's Day to you. Don't forget to call your dad today. Send him a card or something. Let him know you're thinking about him. And if there's anybody here that has any special needs, If anybody wants to become a Christian today, if anybody wants to rededicate their life to Jesus today, if anybody needs special prayer today, come forward as we stand and sing. I just remembered one thing. Before we do that, I'd like to say a special prayer for Martha Edwards. That is Dick Blythe's oldest daughter who has cancer. They found out just a couple of days ago she has 3 tumors in her breast. And so the Blythe family is extremely worried about that. So I'm going to pray real quickly, then we'll sing and continue with our worship. Pray with me. Lord God, we just want to say a special prayer for Dick and Rhonda today and their oldest daughter, Martha. Father, I know that they are worried about her. Martha, they found out she has cancer. And God, we know that you are a God of miracles, that you are the great healer, the great comforter. And I pray for healing for Martha today, Lord. I just lift her up before you. I pray for comfort for the Blythe family. May you empower them by your Spirit to be an encouragement to her. May Martha, in the midst of this suffering, be an encouragement to the people around her. There may be somebody in the hospital that is impacted by her faith and comes to Jesus as a result of this situation. Father, just pray for things like that to happen. We know they do when we're faithful. When we look into the Word and do what it says, God, you work in a powerful way. Thank you for everyone that's here today. Just pray all this in your son's name. Amen. Let's sing.